everybody, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Black History Edition of Press X to Start.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games are for everyone, and we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our talks on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from a wishing nigga wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I be washing niggas, a.k.a. Mr. Worldwide, fight me Pitbull, Marcus Ellison.
I am Sean M.F. Ross.
What's it this week?
Master Frame.
Ah.
That's good.
Okay. I am.
Who you be?
DJ.
Okay.
A.k.a. Did you know? I'm going to change up just a little bit.
Oh, okay. Because
this isn't exactly a fact, but it is a fact because of a news article. Did you know a gang of orcas shook down an Alaskan boat for their fish?
Are orcas
well,
black?
Damn.
They might as well be. Actually, you know what? They are black with white dots or white polka dots.
They're so they're
in disguise.
The cows of the sea.
Right. A.k.a. Big Bad Charles. But if that's too long, you can call me BBC.
Hey.
Hey.
Orca's got the gang mask on. They got the ski mask on. Go ahead.
And after 2 weeks of absence, you can now call me Jordan Bangalore.
AKA first name Jordan, last name Bangalore.
Bangalore. And I tell you, happy Black History Month. Thank you, Apex Legends. And you'll hear about that in a second.
All right. So we're going to jump right into what we've been playing. One of those things I guess you can assume at this point. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But for starters, Jordan, what else you been playing?
Ace Combat 7.
Hey.
How's that going out for you?
I don't see myself finishing that game anytime soon because of Apex Legends. I'm about a few missions away from the ending story. It doesn't matter. The story is just as silly and stupid. I want to play online, but I'm scared because like there's a bunch
get
of
that work.
Yeah, I would.
That's fair.
I've seen some weapons I wouldn't even have imagined. Like this guy's using rail guns and lasers. I'm like, nah, this isn't
shit,
for me.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You gonna get taken down like Pearl Harbor?
Nah, I don't know. But hopefully not. Yeah, so Ace Combat 7 is still going in. And,
okay.
Yeah, the tree system isn't as difficult. It's just
do you recommend buying it?
If you really like Ace Combat and you really need like an arcadey.
Never played an Ace Combat.
Me neither.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I played
really
a demo
to
on those.
PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Actually.
You get those PlayStation demo discs
right.
from PlayStation
Did anybody
magazine.
Else used to steal them out of the magazines?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Actually,
wait.
There
the
is a way of getting
it?
Them legally?
Oh, no.
You could buy, you could buy the magazine, DJ.
I don't know about all that.
Fuck that.
Real quick.
In what world?
You'll actually be able to get Ace Combat 5 on your purchase of Ace Combat 7 on PS2. On a 360, I'm sorry, on the Xbox One, you get Ace Combat 6 with your purchase of Ace Combat 7.
That requires me spending money.
That's weird.
No, I mean, like you get a free game. I mean, Ace Combat 5 is great, though.
But why 5 instead of... Wait, six the one that came
Xbox.
Out? Oh,
was
okay, okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's what I've been playing. I mean, you know, unique to me.
Okay.
Right.
So do you guys want to go Kingdom Hearts 3 or Division 2 beta first?
Do Kingdom Hearts 3 and then Division and then we end with...
Okay.
I haven't played
Apex.
Kingdom Hearts 3 also, and I hate that game so much. I'm not going to beat that game until, like, October.
I hate 2020.
So, you and Doug will be able to talk about Red Dead and Kingdom Hearts at the same time.
I'm still gonna participate in the review, but I just don't care. There's two ways that story's gonna wrap up. Either the war starts or it doesn't.
Okay.
Right?
All
right. What's gonna happen?
Who knows?
It's gonna hurl into
who knows,
Yoshi's
buddy?
World.
Who knows?
We'll find out that Sora's in love with Roxas.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I mean, we've been known that.
Hate that.
Thus meaning Sora is also in love with himself.
Exactly.
A janky game.
Self love.
Look at you turning a topical
positive
spin
into,
on this.
To Ratatouille. But,
oh, yeah.
Does that matter?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's important.
Yes, because that's how you make your food for the game. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I'm
for some reason, there's a cooking mechanic, but whatever. They played Monster Hunter World one time, and so.
Throw it in there, quick.
Right.
Going forward from this, there probably won't be a lot in the way of Kingdom Hearts impressions for the rest of us until like the review,
right?
Because right now I think we're all kind of pretty much set into the mode of the game and
pressing X or triangle. Like sometimes X, sometimes triangle.
Or and circle.
Really? It is a circle?
Thing. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So niggas don't dodge at all?
Exactly. That's how you dodge, my guy.
How do I equip items?
Oh, you don't equip items. You use the items in the menu that's in the bottom left corner of the screen.
Then why do I have my shortcuts?
Oh, that's to use your magics and all stuff.
Whatever, I don't care.
You can also get through that stuff through your menus too.
Yeah. But so basically, with my feelings on Kingdom Hearts right now, are I'm enjoying myself, but I think that I think that my biggest problem with the game right now is how blatantly there's no Final Fantasy in it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember before there was like a pretty even distribution.
Nah, this is all Disney. What do you mean? Out, dog.
Like, in Kingdom Hearts 1 and definitely 2, I think.
That was like 30 years ago. I don't remember. I don't remember.
There was like an even distribution of like Final Fantasy characters, Disney characters, and then Kingdom Hearts original characters.
Yeah.
But now, there are so many actual Kingdom Hearts characters that they've kind of like jettisoned all of the Final Fantasy elements
actually,
of the game.
That's
one of them has 13 versions, right?
That's why there's there's no like actual Final Fantasy characters in this game is because they're trying to finish the story.
But also, and I get that, but because there's a no diversity of character in that way, and the fact that the Disney elements of the game so far, like again, I'm not super far in the game yet, but so far, outside of Toy Story, they've just been retreads of the movies, and
even Rapunzel or
Tangled.
Yeah,
Tangled,
yeah.
Okay.
Tangled, I didn't see that.
It's the exact same.
So here's the thing, right? I did see the Tangled movie, but it never like stuck
she
with
forced
me.
You to go to.
No, I think I picked that one, but it never stuck with me. So like watching it happen in the game, I'm just like, oh, this is cool. This is funny.
I found it kind of funny. She was conflicted.
And my thing is, I found that scene funny
when
I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So when I was seeing it play again, like, I guess this is just a matter of expectations versus reality.
Yeah.
Because Kingdom Hearts has always been this game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they've always had moments where they kind of redid what happened in the movie in the game.
Right.
But that was also 15 years ago, like we've said. And now
give me something new.
Exactly. I have sort of different expectations. I'm sort of like, my tastes have changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And so playing it, and I was like, okay, you know, there's nothing new here in terms of like my investment into the Disney stuff. Right. Toy Story at least did a shift. And that's what made me even more kind of upset that they were doing retreads of Disney stuff because Toy Story was a completely different thing. Like Andy was gone. Like they were realizing that they were.
Well, apparently that's all canon. That actually happened in the Toy Story universe.
Well, hey, whatever the case is, that actually felt new. Like, I didn't feel like I was playing a section of the movie.
Right, right.
You know?
I think Kingdom Hearts is popular. At least it should have came back. It should have came out back in 2013.
Yeah.
Even
sooner than that.
based on the production, it's like, okay, I see where they started adding extra stuff over time. But, I'm pretty sure in an interview we're talking about, like, the switching of game engines would totally mess them up.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 fucked over Kingdom Hearts 3. And
The development of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
or no, you mean Versus 13.
Whatever.
Right.
Or Verum Rex. But where's
Verum
that
Rex?
Game?
Yes.
I'll try to play that.
Right.
But
petition anybody?
Exactly. Like if Shaggy can get into Mortal Kombat, we can get Verum Rex out here.
You better put respect on Shaggy's name.
But,
just like Bangalore, there's two people you gotta respect right now.
You respecting the white man on Black History Month?
Ooh. I'm respecting Bangalore before Shaggy. And Bangalore actually exists. But at the same time, Shaggy's a figment of your imagination, which is equally as dangerous.
Okay.
Marcus, continue.
Last thoughts, basically, like I said, I'm still enjoying the playthrough of it in terms of like the game mechanics. Like when the camera's not working against me, it's fun to play. And there's still certain elements of this story that have kind of endeared me over like once I got past like, okay, this 15-year wait, maybe this is too little too late.
Yeah. Now listen, that's called motherfucking bars, nigga.
Fucking
you know nothing about that.
Yeah.
But I've kind of returned to being endeared by certain elements of the story. But Sora, Donald, and Goofy still get on my last nerves.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. why is Goofy and Donald double teaming me with the insults?
Yeah,
what am I the hero here?
I think the problem with this
like,
game
Donald's
is
Donald's like, you're an idiot, Sora. I'm like, wow.
If we look at what happened with God of War,
I don't need to be told.
Where we've had like an old Kratos that we knew, and then when they came back, they kind of reinvented
it.
I think they should have done something like that similar to Kingdom Hearts, but their philosophy behind Kingdom Hearts was, we're just going to keep Kingdom Hearts playing like Kingdom Hearts. And I think that's where we're all just like, we've been gone from this game for the last like 15, 16
years. It feels like
years.
Unreal Engine 3.
It probably would have taken too long to rewrite. Like, this whole story has probably been written.
That's what I'm saying. It should have been out back in 2013.
Not even the story. More so the gameplay. Because the story is what it is. Kingdom Hearts' story has been a confusing mess of words.
Yeah,
interdimension, time travel, different realms.
You forget the hearts part.
It's like playing through a Clamp manga.
Yeah,
right.
My
thing with the character at the very least is like, I'm not saying that they needed to intrinsically change who Sora is. You know, like I said, he's a shonen protagonist. So like, he's all heart driven and that's admirable. Fine, he's he connects to people because he wants to help. That's cool.
Like, but if you compare Sora to Naruto,
like I said, exactly,
he's still in the tuning exam,
exactly,
and he hasn't even fought Itachi yet.
Like, I just kind of
stayed back a few years.
I feel the as I said on the last show, I feel the growth with Riku, the little bit of thing that I've seen with Kairi, I even felt the growth with her.
Yeah.
But with Sora, it still feels like he's that same damn kid, and hasn't grown at all. But anyways, you'll hear more about us talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 when we actually do the review. Moving on.
I'm infuriated with that game. I hate that game so much. Division 2.
Yeah, moving on to the Division 2 beta. So how much did y'all play? Like, how much time did y'all put in?
How far did you get?
I got to the first waypoint where you're supposed to, like, meet somebody.
Nice.
I did too.
Sounds like a good story.
Are you talking about the, not the Capitol building, right?
Not the White House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nah, the next one where you're supposed to like meet this black lady. She was
Street,
black, right?
Yeah, 10th Street at like Northeast or Northwest or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I'm detecting the story. I'm going someplace to meet somebody for something. That sounds like the Division, right?
Yeah,
now.
That's Cloak and Dagger. Division.
Okay,
that's
so crazy. Real quick, has everyone at this table played Division 1?
Yep.
Yeah.
I played the beta.
Okay, I played a beta as well.
I played it and I was like, I can't see me buying this. It feels too repetitive.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I played the game.
Okay.
Was it repetitive?
I mean, yeah, but like at that, with these type of games,
games for service.
I kind of figure it's going to be at least sort of repetitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for what it was, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Division had the best lighting of this current console generation.
Division had the best lighting.
Yeah, it was really good in terms of like the nighttime, the way it illuminates on the snow.
Tell that
it was very good.
Tell that to Resident Evil 2.
I'm just saying, like, its lighting was very impressive.
Yeah.
Which really set the mood for that game. That's why I enjoyed that game so much.
Gotcha.
The gameplay was all right, but I don't care.
Okay, so what's everyone's thoughts on Division 2?
It's more Division. Far?
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
The story doesn't grab me.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to get further in, but
nah.
Yeah.
The story wouldn't have grabbed you back into Division 1 then.
Nah.
It's literally like just figments of people.
I feel like
and a guy in a helicopter.
I feel like the story of Division
he was king
would be much better on a television show.
Right.
Like
not
well,
actually
you know what? There
it.
Is like a shows like that on Showtime. Like a lot of those
like,
capers.
The story almost in its own weird way feels like The Walking Dead, but
everything's in ruin.
Right.
Any money you meet are enemies.
Well, exactly. Quasi-post-apocalyptic. Didn't really buy about everyone. Just a little bit of technology left.
But any intrigue in the story I have, my anticipation has been tempered by the fact that I know that this is a game of service. So I'm like, there's not going to be much here.
Yeah.
I mean, like what you do is pretty non... And like kind of like Destiny, you're kind of dropped into like this already established world. Like you're not really having any type of true impact on it. You're just kind of moving
forward.
I felt like a number. I mean, I feel like a number in these game for service games.
I would say that at least in Division 2, the way it's set up, you are supposed to be that agent that is.
They tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, you're going
to the White House to meet this person to figure out what's going on. And then from there, you're going to go meet this
person. And then you meet
them
all in the dark and I'm like, hey, go to the White House. Yeah, I did that last
time. It's like, hey, you're important, but you don't have a voice or a personality.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, so when I was playing Division 2, it screamed to me that I know this is a beta, But this is going to be the game of this year that flops. Like
it's between 7.5 and 7 is what I'm looking at right now.
Probably. Because in terms of game of service, you kind of need more than that. Mm. And like I just playing the game, the open world element of it was kind of boring.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there wasn't really anything going on other than shoot that person.
Did you make it a U-Street
yet?
Did you make it a U-Street?
Nah, I ain't get the U-Street.
Cloak and dagger.
I know, right?
But Party
like,
boom, boom.
Like, yeah. What I did appreciate about Division was the atmosphere because, like, just going off the beaten path and, like, trying to explore and find stuff.
Yeah.
I, like, went into this, you probably, it's on the golden path, so you probably ran into it, too. But, like, it's, like, a little building where, like, if you have to open up elevator doors. There's like a chest behind the door.
Yeah, that was in Division 1. They had elevators in Division 1.
Well, they have elevators in New York. So.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Where's the ultimate gameplay change?
The thing is, like, going through there, like, they also did the thing they do in Division 1 where they, like, they tell you, like, the story around what's happening around.
Yeah, through echoes and stuff.
Yeah, like, I liked it. I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And the story that I saw was, like, I guess this guy got double-crossed and they shot him. Mm-hmm. And like you see the echo of his body falling down.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh shit, let me go run down
there. Are they still motion or are they
still motion? Okay. Yeah. So I ran down there and his body wasn't there, but it was just like a chest there. And I was like, oh.
This nigga died and spawned a chest.
You're right.
Like Apex Legends.
He just transformed into a chest on his way down. Yeah. But I was just like, all right. Sprouts
out your
at least put a dead body there.
No,
I
like
the chest next to it.
I like the gadgets that they have. Like I chose the.
Oh, yeah.
I think I chose
Seeker Mine turret and drone.
I chose the turret that you can throw up on shit and it shoots up, and then that Seeker Mine.
Yeah, okay. Seeker Mine boy.
Yeah, I like that boy.
The turret was back in Division. It was from Division. Yeah.
I chose the turret and the drone. Mm-hmm. And okay, real quick, the menus because I'm not used to Division
Heavy.
One.
Heavy, whereas, cumbersome.
I put Division 1 because I had it on the Xbox. Like, I had like the latest update for it, and the UI became more and more cumbersome because of I think it might have grandfathered in the ability to break down but create. Or like I think there's
You can break down stuff in this demo.
It was some type of slide. It was some type of
material.
Menu
okay.
That was very weird.
Yeah,
you know,
not surprised. So like I was trying to get a grasp of like, okay, where are my guns?
Yeah.
And once I found it, I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get a sense for this. But like having to go through the menus was a very frustrating experience. Mm-hmm.
Boosting weaponry and apparel. That's a, one of the crazy ones. Where
you just spoke French to me, right?
No,
now.
So boosting like breaking down to boost up other weapons. That was a new thing, also boosting up apparel was a new thing.
Which is
kind of weird. So
talking about apparel, I found some nice knee pads. I giggled a little bit.
Yeah,
it's like level 2 knee pads.
They'll be taking for the shotgun blast later.
Right. So playing this game off air. between Cam and I, we had a conversation on Slack about comparing Anthem to Division versus comparing Anthem to Destiny. Mm-hmm. So playing this beta, I was looking at it and comparing it to what I played from Anthem.
Yeah.
Mm. And during our conversation between me and Cam, he mentioned how Anthem is a combination of Division and Diablo. And I was like, everything's from Diablo.
Right.
So I was really looking at how Anthem pulled stuff from Division.
Yeah.
And I don't really. I mean, one of Cam's arguments was that he feels that Division is more of a ability use game than Destiny is. And looking at how I played Division, I didn't necessarily feel like my abilities were really the thing that I
like
was
abilities are
on.
Our abilities are part of the game,
but you could use those completely to knock out whole troops.
I'll definitely
that's
say
if you have the Seeker Mine, because I had the turret and the drone, and when I threw the turret, I was like, all right, go turret, go, and it just sat there. and it just shot anyone that was near it.
Nah,
was
like, bro, you're supposed to toss it up like on top of a car or something, and you can have it choose different people.
I'll definitely
I didn't know that was a thing.
I'll definitely say that I used abilities in Destiny more than I ever used them in Division when I was playing it.
Right.
But I do like the action in Division. Really? I think that it's pretty like kinetic and very like,
yeah.
I like the sound design of like the weapons and like everything.
It's a military shooter.
Yeah, like it's, I mean,
not grounded though. Remember, it's not grounded.
It's a solid. It's solid. Yeah. Like that's the long and short of it. It's solid. It's gonna be the Days Gone of games of service. That's what it is.
Maybe
at least it didn't take as long to make though. Like it's kind of like moved a lot of their stuff. Like this is like the latest build of
that's
Division
true.
One boosted up into a new map, which is fine.
Oh, another thing too. Did you guys create a character, do a random character?
I kept on going until I got a black guy.
Yeah.
And then I fucked up and went past that, so I had to keep on going until I got another black guy.
Yeah,
I was satisfied with.
You weren't able to actually like create your character.
Yeah,
you just had to randomize
it.
And
in Division 1, you just selected the
I'm guessing they didn't want you to get too attached.
Mad. No. In the beta, you could do that, but you could actually create your character.
Yeah,
in the game.
Like you changed their hair and like what.
I was
random
just mad that I was sitting there
use.
Like, okay, I got this black dude, but I got like
with huge lips and
I
nose.
Got like emo hair.
Yeah, my guy has blonde hair.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
No, I had black like scene kid hair, like I was at a Panic at the Disco concert.
They exist, Marcus.
I know, but
they exist.
That's called diversity.
Not my player. Give my man some Bantu knots.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they didn't want you getting too attached to your character.
Yeah. Another thing, too, apparently in this demo, you can actually play up to like level 30 or something like that.
But that's the carryover.
Really?
Yeah, but you don't know.
There's no way.
But
that's
it's doable. You only have this weekend to play, so.
I like to play betas to see if I actually want to spend my money on it.
Yeah.
That's why
I'm going to watch someone else do it. Cause I have too many games to play right now. I just don't have time. I'm not doing that.
But moving on.
Yeah.
Something else more diverse.
Yeah, but wait. So final thoughts on Division 2. For me, I did say I was gonna give this game a chance. After playing it, I'm just like, we'll see how March goes.
You don't have to. I'll play it for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Now we can finally. Have Jordan talk about a game that he's been literally
pining.
Annoying us about.
Annoying?
Nah, I like it.
I'm annoying
nah,
I'm about
joking.
The
I like
future.
It.
I think
of
we
this
all
game.
Like the game.
We do.
Oh, yes. This
but
game.
Before we all played it, Jordan was relentless.
So, this game that we were all talking about together in unison at the same rate was or
Witcher,
is.
Witcher 3.
Is
Fortnite 2.
You gotta do it, Marcus.
I'm not.
You gotta
do
it.
No. Go on and cut me off right now. Go on ahead. Go on ahead. I'm letting everyone get it out. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Good.
Apex Legends.
There you go.
All right. Scared
Fortnite 2 Electric Boogaloo.
So Apex Legends is a gangbuster of a game. We're gonna go into why that is in a news section.
Yeah.
But man, this game is
overall impressions. Right?
Taking. The battle royale system, like basically, I've told everyone that this is a battle royale game for people that do not like battle royales.
Word,
yeah.
It's like
which,
how La La Land was a musical for people who don't like musicals,
right?
Like the company behind it is Infinity War, you know, who did the Call of Duty Modern Warfare's and
they call Respawn now,
and
right?
also
Respawn Entertainment.
And they chained over to Respawn to create Titanfall, to which Apex Legends takes place in the Titanfall universe.
Yep,
there are currently 8 characters. Each with their own type of abilities.
There's 8 characters, 10? But 2 are locked.
Yep.
2 are locked, to which you would have to use loot boxes to, to unlock.
You can buy them, or you can
earn them.
You can collect coins enough to actually unlock
they
them.
They have this wonderful system that makes every other developer of Battle Royale games look so stupid, called the ping system.
Yep.
Yep.
It's usually mapped to one of the buttons.
Changes
it's
the game.
On the Xbox, it'd probably be left bumper on the PS4.
It's R1.
It is R1, and you can tell people, you can, like, without talking to anyone, you can mark items, you can tell people where to go, where to use.
It allows you to efficiently communicate with your team without a mic.
Exactly.
And
everyone's going to the same goal.
Godsend. Like, apparently, it took them 3 months of testing to like really nail down that
well,
system.
Shout this out game's to them.
Been, yeah.
This game has been in development for 2 years and we just learned
about
it.
Which is also super impressive.
We just learned out. Like we knew on about Anthem. Sneak. We knew about Anthem for like what? Like basically two or three years now.
Well, yeah,
we
I mean, know about we had Anthem. To know about Anthem because they tanked their big franchise
right.
for it.
So, but like it's crazy that this game is getting so much attention to which no true marketing went behind it.
Like, whole time, if like Respawn straight up like Beyonce'd the shit. Like, they
then
just like, hey.
But I was having this conversation internally.
So actually, real quick, just to go about their release. Yes. This is part of the news, but like the reason why their release went so well was because of how they marketed the game. They didn't do the traditional ad approach. They went to people. They went to influencers. It was like, hey, play this game. Psst. Like, you know, give your impressions or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like for example, people like Ninja.
Well,
they had those people play the game.
Yeah, no,
and that's what really got people going about the game. On top of the release and on top of it being free to play.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I didn't know about any events scheduled with influencers while following.
No,
this
it wasn't
game.
The event. They just gave them the game to play.
Yeah, yeah, like I think I was at Markiplier, Ninja and them.
Yeah,
Jacksepticeye.
Jack Frags. I mean, like this, like yes, and like. I am seeing them switch over or put more content on this game.
Epic Games
but
is in shambles.
A lot of it was in
it's Fortnite empty.
It was kind of like almost word to mouth. Like word of mouth.
Right.
ATM.
word of mouth to which it literally caught fire.
Yeah.
I mean it once people played it. Even though they might get wiped out the first time, there's like this weird,
it felt
this,
good playing.
This weird interest in going back over and over again to say, you know what, I could have won that, but I got beat by legitimate reason.
Right. It's kind of funny.
That is a successful battle royale game.
It's kind of funny that one Call of Duty studio made a great battle royale game.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's like
good old Infinity War.
Where and also because the game was free to play too.
Yeah,
I heard about it. I heard it was like
I know about it a week before, but it was like
so it actually leaked out, but they were toting it because it got leaked out sort of like days before release.
I was gonna mention it on the last podcast. We was like, it's not enough news to go off.
So, basically,
damn it, Sean.
I think another reason. I mean, I don't say this is a chief reason, but in terms of like the scrutiny, just another battle royale game. Mm-hmm. But you also have the Titanfall crowd. If they had like a demo during E3 without Titans, it's like, yo, this game sucks. It got no Titans in it. I'm not gonna give it a shot.
Exactly.
Like there is the Titan fan base,
right,
which I am part of, that's like, yo, where are my Titans at? I need my giant robots. Where's my Titanfall 3? That's gonna be,
like
that's being canceled because of this game? Nah, man. But,
what's dope
about I think you mean giant exosuits, Jordan.
Whatever, dude.
What's dope about Apex Legends for me is one, it's like the perfect cross section between like Overwatch and Call of Duty, with like there's actual character here.
Yeah,
it has personality.
Exactly, it's dope on that front. But also, like DJ said, I actually feel like I can win.
Yeah,
like in most battle royale games, like especially if you're just coming in for the first time, you're surrounded by like seasoned players.
Yeah.
You're just gonna get washed immediately.
Marcus, you want to test your skills? Go to Thunderdome or Marketplace.
I mean, I'm sure. I know that with any battle royale game, there's a twisted.
That's a Tilted Towers.
There's a Tilted Towers in every battle royale game.
There's two in this one.
But
oh yeah,
we ran maybe. I played with Cam, DJ, and then I played with Sean, and we ran. I think I ran throughout that night maybe like 8-9 games.
Yeah,
and
who'd you use?
I used Bangalore first, then I used Wraith, and then I
used
just
Bangalore?
Straight up used I did. And then I just straight up used Lifeline for the rest
Jordan
of the time.
Jordan visibly cringed. Marcus said I used Bangalore.
How'd you do with her?
Don't you touch her.
All right.
I mean, it was my first time, so not great.
Okay.
But Lifeline was
nobody
what
knows
I really
what they're doing
liked.
Their first time.
Wait, what'd you say?
Nobody knows what they're doing their first time.
You beat me
but
to
Life,
the shot.
Lifeline is like one of the most popular characters.
Yeah,
games.
And I see why, because
she can heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate kind of like settling into a support role. Like one of my mains on Overwatch was Lucio. Like I like being able to
support guy
pull my weight on a fight, but being able to like, all right, you know, we got a shield out here, so let me heal who needs healing and all that stuff.
So I'm gonna run through them right quick because I played this game so much. Wraith is a offensive character.
Yeah.
To which she uses Void.
They actually have like little icons. On
yeah,
top
little
right
little crazy like crazy icons.
Like Overwatch.
Bloodhound. Like Overwatch. Bloodhound's a tracker to which he can highlight the area.
Still don't know how to use that dude.
Bangalore is kind of like the quasi support slash assault to which she can use smoke, but if she gets shot at, she runs away very fast.
Bangalore would be in the same class as
Soldier 76.
Like, not even Soldier 76, but like May. Ooh. Where like she has offensive capability.
I love May.
Her ability is to impair the enemy, not necessarily damage the enemy.
Yeah, well, yeah. And also create, you know, escape.
Well, right.
You also have Gibraltar, you know, who's heavily influenced by Samoan culture.
Sick boy.
He is defense heavy, defense oriented, but I've had many situations to which I'm running Bangalore and I'm about to use my alt, but everybody gets the alt at the same rate. Someone puts a shield up and my alt is on us. To which, who did that last night?
That was Cam, right?
That was Cam.
Can you hurt?
No, you don't get hurt, but you slow down. Like, her Rolling Thunder will slow you down. Like, and the same as Cossack.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll get to Cossack in a second, but his stuff will slow you down.
Just real quick about that story.
I hate it.
There was, like, four squads left, and, like, we literally saw the squad over there that Jordan was going to hit with his ult. And, like, as Jordan pulled out his ult and threw it,
they
Cam,
weren't even
like,
shooting at us.
In front of Jordan, and it like hit the back of Jordan's head. I was like, "Oh God,
no!" He used his ult. He used his shield.
Oh, is that what happened?
But they weren't shooting at us. So it's a bright orange shield. Now they know where we're at. I'm like, "Cam, we gotta go. We have to reposition."
Ult being
this is fail ultimate. Reset.
Ult being ultimate move, by the way.
Yes, ultimate move.
Sorry, guys.
So now then you have Mirage, who has a great personality. Like the guy with the two, like he's
so she's ugly.
No,
it's a guy.
No.
Okay. He looks like Miguel.
Stop it. Mirage is he's able to use decoys and stuff like that. So he's pretty dope.
Yeah. Genjutsu.
Also you have Cossack, who's mad dope. He uses a like basically like what Bangalore does, but it's actually poisonous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To which it impairs you. He sets up traps and like he's a great defensive character, to be honest.
Yeah.
Pathfinder tells you where the ring's gonna go, like as it you know times down to which you can better plan out your path.
Yeah.
He can get you into like awkward areas without using the reposition balloon things or whatever. And finally,
he also has a zip line.
He does use it. Well, that's what I mean. Like he's able to shoot that to weird areas to which you wouldn't be able to go to. And finally, last but not least, as Marcus said, Lifeline, the meta class, who's able to put a shield up while she is reviving you and also put some medical.
The Jamaican
bar.
Lady of Rage with Afro Puffs.
My manic pixie island girl.
Right?
And also she's able to put down supply drops with rare loot. So,
yep.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's right, yeah.
That came
which
in
is
the
cool.
clutch on the game where Cam, DJ, and I won.
Yeah.
You, I mean, like you'll get like what like a rare shield, which is mad dope, or like a rare knockdown shield,
which is awesome.
which is very helpful. Those guys are helpful.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know that until like a couple days ago.
I had run into the rare knockdown shield only one time because of that drop, and when I realized that I could revive myself from it,
it was a legendary.
Yeah,
because so some of them some knockdown shields
for legendary. Yeah,
there's one knockdown shield I ran to last night that allowed me to shoot while still on the ground.
That's awesome.
I was like,
oh,
whoa,
wow.
Yeah.
Why am I still shooting?
You're right.
I'm not prone. You can't get prone in this game.
Yeah,
like, but, I was knocked down. I was still pulling triggers.
I do appreciate the fact that Respawn looked at the Battle Royale market and literally just did research.
You can tell this game was not made in a vacuum.
Right, like what do people not like about Fortnite? What people do not like about PUBG or Blackout? Okay, we're going to take those things and we're going to put it into our game and then also add character because Overwatch.
Yep.
So like they really did a bang-up job with this game.
Yeah. Shout out to Respawn. Oh.
And one last thing in terms of game design execution, colors and ammo. Also, when you're shooting someone, you can see what type of armor they're wearing based on the color of the numbers that are coming off of them.
That's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It didn't occur to me until after I got an epic shield and I realized, oh, the thing is popping off at like purple. And I was like, oh, they have that too. I was like, that's why they're not dying either.
It immediately communicates to you how to address this
exactly,
person.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So you can't be like, I shot him 30 times.
You can't get mad.
That was me. Yes, that was I was so, whatever. Okay, we're moving on.
All right. So moving on to gaming news. Wait, sorry. Before we go to gaming news, we're going to have a word from our sponsors.
Apex Legend.
We wish. They would be rolling in the money.
Hey everybody, if you'd like to follow us on our social media outlets, you can find us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, Instagram at PressX2Start, and our website at PressX2Start.com. Remember, you can catch us on iTunes, Podbean, and Google Play, as well as other podcasting apps, and like and review. Every little bit counts. Thanks. And we're back.
Vroom, vroom. Started
so,
up.
So, what we got in gaming news, Sean?
So, Assassin's Creed 3 Remaster is coming to PCs and consoles March 29th.
Shout out to that boy, Connor.
Hey. However, I read if you have, what was it, Odyssey? If you have the Odyssey Season Pass, you get it for free.
Oh, huh?
Really?
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess it would make sense.
It makes sense.
But you shouldn't go play 3. Go play Assassin's Creed 4 DLC.
I've given
Freedom
Cry. I've Assassin's Creed 3 times to make me want to play that game. But I'm probably going to get this, though.
No. Go get Freedom Cry DLC. Go free some slaves.
There you go.
Well, Adewale.
Do it for the culture.
Do it for February.
Good idea, exactly. I might do that then.
We've had a rough Black History Month. Go free some slaves.
Hey, Apex got like 2. Okay, whatever.
Well, that's true. That's true. Apex has
2 black women.
Wait, not 3?
No, it's 2.
Oh, it's just Lifeline and
And Bangalore.
Okay. The hell is Wraith? All right, go ahead.
Wraith is Asian. No. They have 3 because Gibraltar is
Samoan.
Polynesian.
Yeah.
Polynesian or Samoan?
Just go
black. He got 1 drop, man. Go ahead.
All right.
What's so, George?
I think we're going back to Apex.
Yeah.
Segue into the game of the year. Apex.
First off, we're going to talk about the game of the year at the end of Game
of the Year. Oh, okay. Apex Legends is out here just totally, taking all of Fortnite's money right now.
It's wild.
Everyone has a clock. Everybody, like, the timer's reset.
That's true.
You know, there's going to be someone's going to beat out Apex, same way Apex beat out Fortnite, same way Fortnite beat out PUBG. There's always a new person, and we're seeing this right now with Apex Legends, to
younger,
which...
Younger, sexier Battle Royale.
They drew over 1 million players in less than 8 hours.
Yep. That's wild.
And then 2.5 million in 24 hours with 600,000 concurrent players. I mean, people that just haven't turned it off.
Yeah.
And they do exist.
Right.
Some of them had like 200 kills. They're not stopping.
Run it back.
And in a recent Forbes article, 10 million players have engaged this game.
Yeah.
In 72 hours, beating Fortnite's record.
Which is amazing.
Which is crazy.
Insanity.
And also, which is another highlight of this game came out with a plethora of representation.
Yeah.
Not only in terms of racial and gender representation, but also representation by way of sexual orientation.
Yep.
To which Bloodhound is non-binary.
Yep.
And Gibraltar it identifies as gay.
Yeah.
So we have a game that is just tearing it up in
heavily
terms of
diverse.
In terms of participation, but having the soldier be a black woman.
Yeah.
Like, so soldiers are usually like the main characters of most of these games.
That's
usually
the first person.
And they're white jingoistic power fantasies.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But she is Bangalore.
And
that's all I gotta say. Bangalore.
And
we
shout out to Respawn for getting it out the way
immediately.
Early, because Overwatch, where you kind of they got it out the way
right out the gate.
We got LGBT, we got the black women, we got.
Overwatch
I'm just
took,
happy that they have a Jamaican woman in there.
Yeah, I about to say, so
is fun to play.
You have different types of black people, too.
Yo.
Which is
rocking the red hair.
I just want to hear more patois.
Yeah. Right? Don't worry, child.
You know me as boy.
Okay, so real quick. When I first heard Lifeline talk, I was in such disbelief.
Yeah, I was like,
I thought
someone
she
was
had
talking
like,
to you?
I thought she had like a hard London accent.
And
I was just like, wait, no, that's that not right. That's patois. I'm like, shit.
And you know what? This would be very quick. This is I'm just talking about her background specifically, to which she was a child of war profiteers, to which she ran away and join the frontier, like the Battle of Good or whatever, yeah, like that. But like her care packages are financed.
By the way, Jordan's our lore master when it comes to Apex Legends.
A whole bunch of lore. It's so good. It's
all
good.
I'm saying,
it's in the Titanfall universe. It's good. Established.
All I'm saying is everybody that Sue and Epic Games looks foolish right now because they should have done it now while they're weak. Their shields are low. Take them out now.
Kick them in the balls.
But yeah, Apex Legends, play it. If you don't like battle royale games, this is for you.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a very team-based fighting. Yeah.
It's a team-based team deathmatch.
This is
exactly.
This is a high press X recommend for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
major go.
But all right, Marcus, what you got?
So now, moving on to China.
Oh, Apex Legends in China?
No.
Okay.
But China's back for the second week in a row.
Hey.
After NetEase came through with a couple of clutch supports to companies that, you know, needed it with Bungie, you know, so that they could fund their elaborate breakup from Activision. No.
It's not you. It's us.
Exactly.
It's us and NetEase.
And then backing Quantic Dream to go multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
Take-Two believes that China trade talk could help the video game industry. So the Take-Two chairman, Strauss Zelnick, I believe that's how you say it.
Pretty good.
In a call on Wednesday, he said, as we look at trade, our government is focused on the fact that taking care of intellectual property, which is America's biggest export after aerospace, is on a list of important things. I think you'll begin to see some progress there. There's a wonderful opportunity for us in China right now. And if regulation is softened there, there'd be even greater opportunity, but we understand that we have to work within the environment that we find ourselves in there. So it's very interesting, especially given the current administration and how they're like very pro-America and, mm-hmm, you know, we're bringing jobs back to America, mm-hmm, how so many things seem to be outsourcing right now, mm-hmm, and how China is, over the last few years, slowly but surely becoming a huge juggernaut in the, mm-hmm, entertainment industry in terms, right, of like making sure that things are commercially viable.
Yeah. I mean, they're a couple years, they're going to be, I mean, right now they're our biggest rival in terms of being a superpower.
Yep.
And in a couple years,
mm-hmm,
we might be getting Chinese games that are dubbed to English.
Yes. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see what the landscape of gaming looks like in the next couple years.
Yeah.
Because as China continues to get more and more of a foothold in the industry.
Yeah.
I wonder how Japan feels about this.
Yo, even Africa. Like, on my
Africa?
Yeah. Like, on my Instagram feed, like, I have a couple of, like, black, I guess African themed like designers and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I like just yesterday I saw, I don't remember what the name of it, which is terrible, but like it's, I guess it's a traditional African game or something.
Oh,
what is that?
I don't know. It's like a, this is not racist. I'm black. We're all black, but it's like a stick in a ball thing. So I saw it and I was
DJ,
just like, oh, this
you
is
never
cool.
Say I'm not racist.
No, it's too late.
Hey.
Did you learn nothing from Liam Neeson?
You never.
Come on, Donald Neeson.
AKA. But yeah, like it, that looked really interesting.
Okay. AKA Black Bastard.
So, DJ,
yeah,
now that you've stuck your foot out your mouth, you can take it out to deliver the next point of news.
So there's been news from the game that's going to be competing with Apex Legend to be the game of the year. Anthem.
No one cares.
Anthem Legend.
Yeah.
So this week, Anthem has released their post-launch and endgame content.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And
wait, is the game out already?
I thought it was. Has the game gone gold yet?
It's gone gold. It's coming out on the 22nd of February.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait for this game, boy. Okay. Mm-mm. So
maybe you'll figure out how to use the storm then.
Call him out.
And it looks like this has been the end of the So their end game system.
Yeah.
The act, so it's gonna be split into three acts.
Okay.
First act is releasing in March.
Okay.
Which is very interesting. So they're basically,
they're forcing people to slow down and play the game.
I guess so. So I, and like,
Like, slow down and enjoy it. Don't just...
Right. For the fact that the endgame comes out in March, they didn't specify the date. I'm kind of interested in exactly how long is the story then.
Right.
Because is this going to be... Because, like, if the game comes out February 22nd, mm-hmm. that is 7 days until March 1st. So it's like, all right. Like, how long is this game actually going to be?
You can't space it out too far, and then people lose interest.
Right. So the first act is called Echoes of Reality. We don't really know too much about it. There's going to be several key features, including a new Cataclysm event, which seems to be like their raid.
Okay.
If you think Destiny.
Right.
There's going to be a new stronghold for players to conquer and some quality of life improvements to the game, which is funny because we don't even know why we need quality of life improvements so far.
Oh, you will.
Well,
oh,
yeah. I will. It's to make sure that you spawn in the game with your head.
The important things, yeah. Right? So once players complete the campaign, they'll be able to dig their teeth into challenges, contracts, free play, and strongholds. Mm-hmm. Contracts work as you go into Fort Tarsus. Into Fort Tarsus, and you talk to different people, and they will give you this, like, it could be like a legendary contract or like a normal contract.
Okay.
It's basically just another mission to do.
Right.
But you have opportunity to get like high tier rewards.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, essentially this is setting up to be what Destiny was. Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like they're just trying to build a better Destiny and also have that story. So they released a like 5 minute long gameplay series, their part two. Talking about the end game, and they just go over all this stuff. So really, if you want to catch more detail, if you want to catch more of this in detail, then you can watch that in your own research.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing this game, so I don't really even need to know any of this.
I mean,
you made your choice.
Yeah.
This game is confounding in a way to which I'm very familiar with my BioWare.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is not the team that worked on the original BioWare's, at least the original Mass Effects. This is like the team that worked on Andromeda, clearly by the way this gameplay is looking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to buy it, but come on.
The team probably had some hands or some influence from Andromeda with the way it plays, but it definitely wasn't the team that
made
Andromeda.
Like they still probably had access to a lot of it looks and plays kind of like Andromeda. Right.
So real quick, let me make a note in terms of Cataclysm. So I called it like sort of like a raid thing.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly true. So Cataclysm is the best way to put it would be to think of like World of Warcraft, where they have something that happens in game and affects everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's how, in terms of Anthem, it's going to be a little different because there might be a thing where everyone's contributing to this one goal, which is different from like a raid where it's just basically two fire teams come together to do this one thing. So that could be really interesting. And also that can make Anthem a very different entity from Destiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
There ain't beating no Apex Legends though. All right.
So next up, Sean.
So we have Microsoft preparing to bring their Xbox Live platform to iOS.
Everybody eats.
Android and a Nintendo Switch.
Everybody eats.
So looks like I'm getting Xbox Live.
Yeah. So Halo.
They already have
on
something.
My Android tablet.
So like I've kind of experienced this because I played Solitaire on my Android phone, and you can actually log into Xbox Live and get achievements. For whatever reason. Yeah.
The cross-pollination is complete.
Right?
Assuming direct control.
So, oh, man.
It's a trap.
Sony in the corner just like, you broke, bitch.
Hey.
So, okay. Well, go ahead.
So they've already been, you know, had this in practice for a while. Like, they're just expanding it now.
Yeah.
I don't know what they had available for iOS because DJ never downloaded Solitaire like I told him to.
My bad.
But
you can play Solitaire with other people?
No.
No, just see what it's like on iOS. Okay.
As far as achievements and stuff, and just to see how that platform was.
Like, it's no longer Solitaire, dude.
Solitaire, but open.
Right. So another thing that's actually interesting to this is, real quick, shout out to Doug for providing the news. He definitely covered all the stuff that we didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the stories that he presented to us was Microsoft Game Studios changing their name to Xbox Game Studios.
Interesting.
Okay.
And I really think that Microsoft, or I should say Xbox, is in a process of changing themselves into a studio that produces Xbox games and not necessarily a studio where you can play Xbox games on a Xbox.
Well, gotcha. Microsoft Studios did Mass Effect 1. They did Halos, I believe.
I think it was Halo, yeah.
So, I mean, like, they've developed and published games before, but, like, what's the difference in changing the name? I'm trying to capture that.
I think, really, it is just to position the studio in a different way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think, like, they're setting up some cards. Mm-hmm. And, like, between this gen, everyone says it, but this gen might be Xbox's last, like, console generation. And then, by the end of this next generation, then they'll just start being like...
TVs are getting smaller, storage units, or Samsung's coming out with like a 5 terabyte storage unit in the next
phone. And especially if after this gen, the next gen is just pure streaming, then Xbox is already set up. You don't need a console anymore.
You know, you sound like me last summer. What happened?
I mean, PlayStation.
No, seriously, like
Apex Legend happened,
Jordan. I'm talking to myself here. Like, why were you fighting me so hard? Like,
Sony already had their stuff in place, though. He was just saying the technology wasn't there yet. Regulations and people not wanting us to have fast internet like South Korea and
you don't need to bail him out, okay? His water's not that good.
Thank you, Sean.
Wow.
Are you trying to say Jamaican water ain't good?
I'm just saying, don't bail him out.
You just mad because you ain't getting enough.
Wait, water? So,
well, welcome to the light. Welcome to the light. All right.
So, Jordan?
So, Disney, another thing I've been talking about probably since I first started on this podcast with Battlefront, Disney is like their main partner with a lot of their video games is, in fact, Electronic Arts.
Yeah.
They're using Electronic Arts to develop, you know, a lot of Star Wars games. And you got to get the Star Wars out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
EA Games. Give me your money.
Like they've turned DICE into a Star Wars factory. Respawn's in that same conversation. They're about to come out their Star Wars game where Respawn's like, we just really want to do the stuff we like doing. Please don't let us do this. You're like, no, take this money and make this game.
Which means there's gonna be Star Wars skins in Apex Legends.
But regardless of EA's reputation, which is not new, EA has destroyed many developers. Of the Command & Conquer series. They've turned BioWare into a shell of its former glory, to be honest.
Sure has.
Like, I mean, BioWare was gangbusters, you know.
Sure was.
Back last generation, but now it's kind of like, eh. And regardless of the critical the criticism the gaming community has had for EA, Disney still believes that Disney says it's never been good at video games, but it remains happy with EA's work.
Yeah,
I don't know,
which is very surprising.
I don't know what measures they're using. I remember in Battlefront they had to literally climb down from the rafters like Sting, and tell like as if EA was Randy Savage, and dictate to EA. You have to stop microtransactions.
Yeah.
You are affecting the fidelity of our product. It kind of showed the relationship of those two companies. Disney's Disney is super rich people.
Yep.
EA is pretty rich.
Yeah.
But Disney, like, they had the power.
I feel like they did it with their blessing.
Sorry?
I feel like they did it with Disney's blessing. They're just kind of throwing them under the bus now.
Well, I mean, Disney had the creative control over that license that they were allowing EA to use.
Yeah.
EA is the subservient entity within that relationship Disney. Right. So, clearly, with that type of language, Disney is like, either A, hands off, trying to we're not gonna say anything bad about something we're not trying to address right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to focus on our own streaming platform. We see nothing but rainbows, nothing but returns. It's good. We're not looking at it. If you don't look at it, nothing bad's happening. So I think that's what's happening with Disney right now.
I see.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. That's a very noted and well worn big company tactic. So
right.
Yeah, and the next game by Respawn, Apex Legends. is going to be Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Was going to be like a third person type Jedi game.
Yeah.
People are saying it might be. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, hey, more power to you, Disney and EA, I guess.
Right. If Respawn's making it, I got hopes.
True.
Okay, so
now
Marcus
to talk about the real game of the year.
Oh, okay. What'd you got?
So Death Stranding.
Hey.
Oh wow.
Was silently demoed to a very select few, basically
Bangalore's and Death Stranding?
Shut up. Basically Kojima's inner circle, essentially.
Right.
And so far it's gotten rave reviews from the people that played it.
Oh, it's actually a game, not a movie, because you guys say like it was a movie. Like people actually played it.
I didn't say all that.
I mean, okay, so what did they play? Like, I mean,
they,
well,
no,
I,
they basically they
can't real quick. They can't you do know it. That you play movies by pressing the play button.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
But like,
you also play yourself by doubting Death Stranding.
are there achievements?
I don't know. I'm sure there will be. Okay. But the
so it's
the
coming thing, on Xbox?
No.
Okay.
The thing is, I believe 2 hours of the game was demoed for who played them.
Yeah.
Mm.
The director, Jordan Voight Roberts, I believe his name is, who did Kong Skull Island and is going to be directing the Metal Gear Solid live action adaptation, played it and was losing his mind, saying that it's like nothing that he's ever played before. And
real quick, do we know him to be a gamer?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, like that's awesome. That's one of the big reasons why he's doing Metal
he's
Gear Solid.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
great. Like, oh, I just answered my question right there.
Then Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen have on several occasions talked about how like this game is literally the oddest thing that they've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
And this is coming from Mads Mikkelsen, of all people.
Now, I hope this isn't getting hyped up by insiders like the Firefest.
Mm.
First off, we all get stranded in white tents.
Yeah,
First off,
like the game bricks your console.
Don't you ever compare Hideo Kojima to Ja Rule.
Hey, that's not fraud. That's not fraud.
Yo, we just got to spin it. We just got to spin it.
But
we got a bunch of smart people up in here.
There's one soundbite that I want to put attention to, which is Norman Reedus, when he was talking about the game, he said that it's completely ahead of its time because you're not trying to eliminate people. You're trying to bring people together in the game. And that is something that falls in line with something that Hideo said a while ago, where he's like the game, like a lot of games, especially modern games, are based on sticks and stones where you're trying to use them to attack.
Bones? Yeah.
And he said, this game, something about a rope. I'm very...
It's all about connections, I think.
Yeah.
Umbilical cord.
Yeah, basically. And I remember when they, I forget which big event it was, but when they dropped that, basically the most informative Death Stranding trailer we've ever seen, where we actually saw Norman Reedus' character walking around and people were making jokes about him being an Amazon Prime worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am now more inclined than ever to believe that the game is about him making connections with different disparate areas by delivering certain important cargo to these areas. I am very curious to see how this game is going to be received. We talked about it off mic, DJ and I, where this game is going to be super divisive, I think.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to be a top-down RTS with really beautiful cutscenes.
It's going to be a very, it's a very calculated artistic risk from Sony.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that a lot of this game, I mean, like, I'm not trying to downplay the game, but Hideo Kojima hasn't done a game since Metal Gear Solid 5.
Right.
Do you think a lot of that's driving this? And also, like, him not being able to do Silent Hills and losing the Metal Gear Solid franchise, but, like, this game is, like, a lot, like, that, I'm not gonna say, like, that hype, but, like, that's a big driver. Like, I'm interested in it because Hideo Kojima.
I think this is a game that Kojima it has wanted to, or a story that he's wanted to tell for a while.
Yeah. But in terms of our interest, though.
Like, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, of course, a lot of interest around this game outside of who's in it is curiosity, even morbid curiosity in some cases, with what Kojima's up to now.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now we're seeing Kojima operate completely unfiltered. He has no Konami people over his head trying to drive him to, like, punch out another Metal Gear Solid game.
His games are already weird in the first place. Well, without it's like a bull in a china shop.
Which is why I said morbid curiosity in some cases, where you just have to know what this man's going to do when it's just him
Yeah.
putting out this content.
IGN gives it an 8 out of 10.
I'm...
no.
DJ had made a comment about he wasn't sure if Sony should be making kind of risks like this at this point.
Mm. Yeah.
Just because of how shaky their ground is going into next console generation with Microsoft being on their ass.
Right.
And my thing is, since Sony, at least for now, is still the home of the first party.
Yeah.
And kind for of now. The story-driven game, I think that this is absolutely the thing, especially if they're still being very staunch about, like, you know, not moving and crossplay and all that stuff.
Right.
The way that they continue to stay relevant and continue to stay on people's mouths is by continuing to take artistic risks.
That's
like
true.
This.
That's true.
Well, yeah, we'll see if that's sustainable. It is a solid tactic, but you know, when it, like, these companies are like big ships.
Yeah.
They're cruise ships. Like, it, you can't, it's hard to course correct within the console generation.
That's true.
So,
I mean, putting
all your chips on black.
I don't necessarily think that Sony needs to, quote unquote, course
no,
correct.
I mean,
right
like,
now.
I mean, okay.
If you make a mistake, it's hard to course
correct. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And we're seeing, like, okay, you're going to bet all on black, which is fine. And yeah. which will give you high returns if
it works out.
It hits on black.
Right.
But if you want to be like this monolithic silo.
Yeah.
Because of the adverse its adverseness towards crossplay and you know, while Nintendo and Microsoft are flossing in the quarter, Sony's like, I am working on art, sir. Video games are beautiful.
Like Andy Warhol of the
Sony's wearing like a beret and an ascot.
But like, as long as Sony doesn't forget to have fun,
right?
Or have just make sure to have a product that's fun. It could be beautiful and artistic,
No, I agree.
Your gripe with Red Dead.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful game.
It was.
One of the greatest games possibly made this console generation, at least in terms of production and execution.
Right.
You didn't have fun.
Yeah.
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 And same thing with, there's no saying that actually Death Stranding probably won't be very fun, or like, Last of Us 2 is going to be
an
amazing
experience. Is it
going to
be Apex Warriors? Apex Legends.
But is it going to be fun? So that's fair. That's fair.
Okay, so you're saying they shouldn't necessarily release it this late into the generation. Do you think they should have?
No. I mean, it's gonna be excellent punctuation.
It needs to be like next gen.
Well, here's the thing. Remember, Last of Us, and Grand Theft Auto came out towards the end of PS3 and Xbox 360. They just re-released it with higher res graphics.
That's true.
They remastered it 2-3 years later.
That's true. I mean, that's a possibility too. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see any problem with Death Stranding and like being a punctuation on this console generation. I think Death Stranding is the best game to do that right now. To like, this is the end of Generation 7.
But assuming the PS5 is backwards compatible, is it even really the end of the generation?
Yeah. Well, assuming. Because, man,
it will be,
but I want to know how that's translated. Because Xbox, you can't just throw an Xbox One CD. I don't think their disc reader is that for Xbox discs.
I wouldn't be surprised if PlayStation did that, because they definitely made a mistake with the PS3, and I think they know that now.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure like one of the requirements for PS5 is to be backwards compatible.
Well, yeah. I mean, like what I'm saying is,
Is it disc based or is it
or is it emulation?
Like, yeah. Oh,
so there's money to be made.
Right.
Like, do you really want to play Final Fantasy VII, dog? How much you want to put out to play Final Fantasy VII on? I mean, like, to those fans, like, I'm gonna buy
it's
it.
It's not
like
enough.
Yeah. I mean, they won't need it at a certain point because the remake's gonna come out.
Yeah. The whole library of Sony.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
we're going down a rabbit hole.
No. Like, wait, real quick, Xbox One. Like, I can't do that. To which, like, you have to buy.
But you can't do what?
You can't just throw the Xbox One disc in there.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, like, if it would cost more for them to put a reader that can like universally read all these discs, each one of their formats,
right?
Or are they losing money by not having emulation, which people pay for?
So I think we are safe in terms of backward compatibility because there is no other format other than Blu-ray that holds so much space.
That's true.
So back then we were in the cusp of DVDs going to Blu-rays or DVD HD or whatever.
Yeah, whatever Xbox invested in.
Yeah. So like, I think we're fine in terms of backwards compatibility.
I'm not saying it's hard because the Xbox 360, you get to play Xbox One games too. I mean, I'm not saying it's hard. I'm just wondering how cynical they'll be.
We won't get that answer until it actually happens.
That's true.
Yeah. So
Well, they got holographic discs coming out eventually, but whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, so want to wrap us up, DJ?
This has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast.
Bangalore!
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. If you miss any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at PressXNumber2Star.com. Until next time, don't forget to subscribe to us on all channels, please.
Smash that like button.
We are looking at the numbers, and we would like them to go up.
Our shareholders demand it.
Yes.
And plus, we just want to communicate with y'all, you know? It'd be cool to get a thriving community going.
Yeah.
Thriving.
Yeah.
So, until next time, Uno out.